Well, it's so good to see all of you here today. I didn't know how many of you would be able to get out of bed after riding those bulls last night. I can't find anybody here who rode one. Well, I heard the mutton busting. Griffin, you rode that sheep a little while, didn't you? The mutton busted your lip. Yeah, boy, that was hard. I couldn't do that either. And Jackson did too. He was on there too. Who else? Yeah, all of y'all that rode the sheep, stand up and wave your hand or something. We don't want to leave anybody out. Hey there, congratulations. Give them a hand. I mean, just for the effort of getting up there and doing that, riding those sheep. And we're proud of you all, and you'll just grow up one day be riding those bulls. Now, that'll be something else. Mom and Dad may not want you to do that. I want to introduce our granddaughter and our son this morning. Sean and Tanya are here from Texarkana, Sean Blaze and his wife Tanya. Always happy for them to come. We have Abby and Sarah, our granddaughters from Colorado. They're sitting down here on the second pew by Mimi. We picked them up at the airport at 1 o'clock at Little Rock yesterday. They flew from Denver to Little Rock. And then we had a hot afternoon yesterday as well with them. Mackenzie was with us, and first time she'd ever been in an airport. So it was a big deal for her to see her cousins come running in there and say hello to them. It's always fun for us to just watch the families and others as they get off the plane and greet one another. And say hello and welcome. Mackenzie sings a lot, and so she's going to come today and sing for us, and her dad, Sean, is going to play the guitar. So, Mackenzie, would you come up at this time, and Sean, and we'll look forward to you all blessing our hearts. I had asked her to sing five or six songs. She decided to sing one. At the senior adult rally the other day in Wilton, she did sing five or six songs, and they were so beautiful. I just love them. But anyway, Mackenzie, here's your mic.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come desperate to be rescued, I come empty to be filled, I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb, and I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought, and now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. And I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. And I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God. Just as I am, I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. And I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I am.
Our other granddaughters, Sarah and Abby, I could have had them to sing. We didn't think about it early enough. I don't ever get to hear them sing like I do Mackenzie. But coming back from Little Rock yesterday, I listened to all three of them sing. They didn't stop 1 minute. They were in the back seat of the car, and they had their music back there. I think they sang every song in High School Musical. And they know every word and all the, everything else. And so I thought, well, next time. So Sarah said, well, Papa, next time we come, we'll sing. So we'll look forward to that, Sarah. Sarah's going to be a senior in high school out in Colorado. And then Abby is going to be what grade? Eighth grade in Colorado. Their brother Will is going to be coming to Wichita in 2 weeks. And they'll have to start to school that week, so they can't come and see him off to Wichita. Dad and Mother are going to bring him down here and then turn around and go back home. Their other grandmother from Jonesboro is going to come and spend the week with them and help them get started to school in the first week. So that's going to be a good thing as well. We're thankful for our grandchildren. Michaela, the oldest, is at Glorieta. They went out there yesterday. A group from the Baptist Collegiate Ministry, BCM, at SAU. There's about 12 of them, and they are the training team, the leadership team from the, we used to call it the BSU, BCM. And so we're real proud that Michaela's going to be one of the leaders in that group for the freshmen. And so they're all at Glorieta this week being trained on how to minister, how to work with the students. And so we're very, very proud of all of those. And if y'all would like to talk about your grandchildren, you just come on up. Y'all can do that. Yeah, it would take all morning, wouldn't it? If you have your Bible, let's turn to Mark chapter 12. We're preaching through chapter 13, I'm sorry. We're preaching through the book of Mark. We're now to chapter 13. We were in chapter 13 last Sunday morning, talked a little bit about verses 1 and 2 and the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem. So Mark chapter 13. In Mark 13, we have the prophecy that Jesus made about the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the massive temple in Jerusalem. Also about the conditions in the world that will be going on after his death and resurrection. It's been 2,000 years and all these things have been going on just as he prophesied they would. And then at the end of the chapter he talks about his second coming. And we'll be dealing with that in another message or a series of messages on that. Chapter 13, verse 1. And as Jesus went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Do you see these great buildings? There shall not one be left, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew came and talked to him privately. They said, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answered them and said, Take heed lest any man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be troubled by that. For such things must needs be. It's not a sign of the end at all, he says. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in many different places, and there'll be famines and troubles. He said, these are not signs of the ends. Don't get excited. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But do take heed to yourselves, for they will deliver you up to the councils and take you in the synagogues, and they'll beat you. And you'll be brought before rulers and kings for my name's sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first of all be proclaimed among all nations. And when they shall lead you, deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall say. Neither don't premeditate your message or what you're going to say. But whatever shall be given you in that hour, say it, speak it. For it is not you that will speak, but rather the Holy Spirit. Brother shall betray brother to death, father his son. Children will rise up against and betray their parents, and shall cause their parents to be killed, put to death. And you all are going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. That sounds like kind of scary stuff, doesn't it? It does to me, and does to most of us, I think. I titled the message today, Signs of the Times. We hear about the signs of the times. I hear preachers and Bible teachers and even people who are not religious saying, boy, things are so bad in the world, world may not stand much longer. We hear people who are not even religious say that. Boy, things must be coming to an end, as terrible as things are. I've never seen it like this in my lifetime. And so people are looking for signs that the end of the world is coming, the end of the age is coming. I noticed in the Arkansas Baptist News Magazine, which some of us get every two or three times a month, when it came day before yesterday, Tim Yarborough, who is one of the very popular preachers in Arkansas these days, Brother Tim Yarborough has a column he calls Pressing On. And so in his column, this is what Tim wrote. He said, if there's any doubt that America has lost its moral compass, we have to look at the disgusting and evil things coming from undercover videos of Planned Parenthood. I've been watching those. I've watched those and I've seen the interviews, and you probably have seen some of them if you have. It's just unbelievable that this thing is going on in America today. taking all of those little unborn babies and cutting them up and selling their hearts and livers and lungs and skin and toes and all the other parts. Well, this has come to be revealed, hasn't it? And it's just shaking everybody up. While Planned Parenthood has done many good things and helped many people, thousands and maybe millions of women over the years, there's some things like this that would make many of us and many of the leaders who have been supportive of them say, boy, that's enough. We can't support them any longer. Cut off the funds or whatever because we don't want a part of that. Taking and selling human parts, body parts, is a terrible thing. Well, Tim Yarbrough says that's a sign that things are worse than they've ever been in the United States of America. He goes on to list several other things that are really causing alarm to many of us as Christians. He says, since the year began, just think, first of all, the fight in Arkansas and across the nation about same-sex marriage and rights for gays and lesbians and so forth. Second, the aggressive rise of violent and radical Islam abroad and on our home turf as well. Third, he says, Middle Eastern nations and other groups professing to one day eliminate the state of Israel. And of course, there are those nations like Iran and others whose stated goal and purpose in life, and I preached about this last Sunday night. If you were here, you heard that message. They want to do away with the nation of Israel. Not only that, they want to do away with all Christians in the world. And that's you and you and me. Their stated purpose is to destroy us from the face of the earth. The widespread persecution of Christians around the world. We hear stories about that all of the time, not only in America, but also mainly in other parts of this world. Protest against Religious Freedom Restoration Act in Arkansas. Next, he says, the weakened and collapsing economics in Greece and Puerto Rico and China. He just goes all the way down and names many different things that are causing concern among folks in Derricks and Nashville and Colorado and Arkansas and Texas and wherever else we may be from. He mentions having seen a video by an author by the name of Jonathan Cahn. He is a Messianic Jewish rabbi. He's written a book called The Harbinger. Some of y'all have read that. Have you read The Harbinger, any of you? Sheila, I know you have because I saw the book, The Harbinger. It's a popular bestseller by Jonathan Cahn. But anyway, Tim Yarbrough has read that and saw the videos, and I looked on the internet and watched some of his lessons. He's a very popular prophetic writer and speaker named Jonathan Cahn. But he says he's prophesying that 2015, which the year we're in, and 2016, next year, and 2017, these are going to be terrible years for terrible things to happen in America. And he says it is because of the sins of the nation that are bringing about these terrible things at the end. Tim Yarbrough concludes his article by saying, the main thing I want to point out is this. We need to get our spiritual house in order. We need to make sure that we're right with God. We need to make sure that our church is strong in spiritual life and that we're people of prayer and commitment and that we're standing for the Lord and that we're ready for the time of terrible persecution. If there was ever a time, Tim says, when you felt closer to God than you feel today. Now think about Brother Tim's question there. Has there ever been a time in your life or your life or your life or my life when we felt closer to God than we do right now at 25 minutes till 12. Has there ever been a time when you felt closer to God than you do right now, right here where you're sitting or listening in on the internet? The sermons are all out there. He says, if there's ever been a time when you felt closer to God than you are right now, you need to do something before you leave this building. You need to do something right now to get back to where you ought to be, because the time is short and we need to be ready. Witness to your family and your friends. Beg them, plead with them to get right with God. Now is the time for Christians to all stand tall for the Lord. Amen, Brother Tim. That was what he said to all of us who read the paper in Arkansas. Signs of the times. But you know, let's look at these verses for just a moment. People are always wanting to find a sign that something's going to take place. And the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, got Jesus aside privately and said, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when these things shall be fulfilled? And you'll notice that what Jesus did was didn't give them a sign at all. And a lot of people who are saying these are signs of the times need to be doubted. You need to take it with a grain of salt. Because people have been saying the signs of the times are right for 2,000 years. There never has been a generation when Bible preachers and teachers have not said exactly what people are saying today. Every generation has said, there's no reason Jesus can't come. All the signs are being fulfilled. They said it in the first century, the second century, the third century, the 10th century, the 14th century, the 15th century, the 20th century, the 21st century. Every Bible teacher and Bible preacher who understands the Bible has been making those predictions in their lifetime, and every one of them have said, I believe the coming is so close, I believe I'll live to see the coming of Jesus. The signs are all being fulfilled. Everyone has been saying that for 2,000 years. So, you see, we need to be really careful. We really do about making predictions. And a lot of people have made fools of themselves. Whole churches and denominations have made fools of themselves because they held up the newspapers and looked at all the world reports and they said, oh, this is the last day. Jesus is probably going to come next year. And some of them have set dates. Jesus warns us in these verses I read to you this morning, don't set dates. Don't look for these signs. As a matter of fact, he's giving us in these verses non-signs. They're not signs at all. What he is saying in these verses is, folks, the world is going to go on and all these things are going to be happening. You're going to see that there are a lot of deceivers are going to come on the scene. They're going to say, I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah. They're going to deceive many. And you look at 2,000 years of past history, and you can list, if you have the right resources to list them, all the ones who came in Israel even. 76 different ones over these years in Israel have come through the years of saying, I'm the Messiah. But they weren't. Jesus says many, not a few, many are going to come and claim to be me, but they're not me. So don't listen, don't be deceived. He's going to say you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. There's never been a time in the last 2,000 years when there have not been wars and rumors of wars. There are a lot of them today, but there's always been a lot of wars and rumors of wars. And if there are more these days, you can look at one preacher or Bible teacher who has a list and he counts and he says, there's more in this generation than... But I don't give much credence to that because I just think they're trying to use some scriptures or some text or some statistics, I'm saying, to try to prove their point.
And Jesus says, don't try to prove your point on that. You're not to see how many wars there are and then say, oh my goodness, there's so many wars in the world. Jesus must be coming today. Jesus said, don't listen to that. That's not a part. That's not a sign. That's not an indication whether there's a many or a few. He just says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Don't be troubled. You see, what happens when people begin to set dates and list things that are going on that shows the end is at hand, you get troubled. And Jesus says, don't get troubled. There are going to be false messiahs. They're going to try to deceive and deceive many. You're going to have wars and rumors of wars. Don't be troubled by that. These things are going to, the end is not yet, Jesus says. Nations are going to rise against nation. Always have, always will. Kingdoms are going to rise against kingdoms. Always have, always will. There'll be earthquakes. Always have been earthquakes. Always will be earthquakes. Jesus says, don't get excited because there are a bunch of earthquakes. There'll always be earthquakes. And some Bible teachers and all make a list. All the earthquakes in this century and last century and the last century. And they say, oh, see how many there are coming. Those are really things that Jesus in this scripture is trying, I think, to help us. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't even think about that. These are not indications that the end is here. He says, earthquakes in different places. There'll be famines. There have always been famines. Troubles. He says these are the beginnings of sorrows. He says all of these things are happening. He even goes on to say things about the gospel being proclaimed in all the nations. And all of these things, you're going to be hated. There's going to be persecution. I realize there's persecution of Christians in this generation, but there's been persecution of Christians in every generation. For the last 2,000 years, you just think about it and look back in some of history. It's been bad. He says these are the beginnings of birth pains. Look at the last part of this chapter. I want to point out something in the 5 or 10 minutes I've got left. In verse 32, and we'll get to all these other verses tonight and next Sunday and next Sunday and so forth. But verse 32, but he says, but of that day and that hour, no man knows. No, not even the angels. Now here he's talking not about the destruction of Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was destroyed, as we pointed out last Sunday morning, in 70 AD. That happened. The Romans took it over, destroyed the temple, destroyed Jerusalem. Everything was destroyed. Hundreds of thousands of people were murdered, killed in that terrible time. He's not talking about that. He's talking about His second coming, the time before the end. He says, of that day and that hour knows no man, not even the angels who are in heaven, neither the Son, but only the Father knows. Now here's what he says to us in verse 33. Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time will come. If there were signs like that and people could know those signs and make a list of them, and their book that they were selling was right, wouldn't be a surprise. Everybody say, well, sure, this is it. Jesus says, it's not it. You know not when the time is. Now, he uses an illustration here in verse 34. Look at it. For the Son of Man, who's the Son of Man? Himself, Jesus. For the Son of Man is like a man who takes a far journey. He leaves his house and maybe all of his property. He gives authority to his servants and to every man his work. So he says, here's the guy going to take a far journey. He's going a long way off. He has servants and others, and he puts them in charge of the house, the land, the property. He believes they're going to do a real good job. To every man he gives his work. And he commands the porter, that is, the one in charge, the one who's guarding the house, the one who's guarding the estate, he says he commands the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house will come back. He says it could be in the evening. Now all of these watches are at night. It could be in the evening. It could be at midnight. It could be in the morning when the cock crows, the rooster crows. Or it could be in the morning itself. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So he says the porter is the one who's the guard. And we know who he's talking about here. The Son of Man is himself. And he says the Son of Man is going to leave all of this behind and take a long journey. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to let you all do your work, and I want you to work, and I want you to be productive, and I want you to do all the things you're supposed to do while I'm gone. He says, I'm going to have a guard, a porter, a watchman, and the watchman is going to watch out. And one of these days, I'm going to come back. I want you to be watchful in my absence. Now, what are they to watch for? Well, most of the time people say they're supposed to be watching for the coming back of the owner. That's not, I think, what he's really saying here. He's saying, be watchful so you will not be deceived in the interim time while I'm gone. You be watchful so you'll not be deceived into thinking other things. Because when I come, it's going to be an absolute surprise to you. And all that I want you to do is to be ready, to be prepared, to do the work in Dirks, Arkansas, and Nashville, Arkansas, and Texas, and Colorado, and the United States, and Russia, and Israel, and South America, and everywhere else you Christians and the churches are. Be doing the work. And the main thing I'm concerned about is, do not be deceived. That word watch has to do with watching for deception. And I mentioned last Sunday night in the message that I gave here about one area of deception. And there are many others that we could deal with every Sunday for a long time to come. He says, I'm coming back. When I come back, I don't want to find my house a wreck. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I don't want a deceiver to come in here and deceive you all and ruin my property, wreck my house, destroy all of this. That's what he's saying to watch for. Watch for deceivers so they'll not wreck my house and ruin my property. Because when I come back, I want it to be productive. I want it to be a wonderful house and property. I want it to be better than when I left it. Because y'all have been doing your work that you're supposed to be doing. And so Jesus gives us a warning right here in Dirks, doesn't he? In Nashville and Howard County and all these other counties. He gives us a warning because he says there are many deceivers in the world. Of course, Satan, the devil, is the master deceiver. And he is helping us to be deceptive. And he says, watch out and be ready. He said there'll be false Christ. There'll be world disasters. That's not a sign. All these false Christs, that's not a sign. There'll be persecutions of Christians, persecution of the church. That's going to happen, he says. He says just keep on working and being faithful in every way. And I believe that's the main point of this lesson that Jesus teaches us here. For us to be faithful. He says, don't be looking for signs. As a matter of fact, we noted in Mark chapter 11, when we studied that in Mark chapter 8 and verse 11, they said, is there a sign? And Jesus said, no sign is going to be given to you. No sign to this evil and adulterous generation. He said, the only sign is me and my death and resurrection. The only sign, he said, is the sign of the prophet Jonah. He was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, and then he came out. And he says, so Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and I'll be resurrected. That's the sign you all need to look for. And so you can look in Mark chapter 8 and verse 11, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 through 41, Luke chapter 11 and verse 29. They said, give us a sign. And Jesus says, I'm not going to give you a sign. I'm the only sign you need to read. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be resurrected from the dead. I'm going to be back to heaven to be at my Father's right hand. I'm the sign that you need to read. Quit looking for signs and follow me. And that's what Jesus really says, I believe, in this passage. What I say unto you, I say unto everyone, watch. Because when I come back, I do not want to find you sleeping. I've been hearing a lot of sermons lately by a lot of preachers that I really respect so highly. And they keep saying, we need to wake up. We're a sleeping church. We're like a sleeping giant. We need to wake up. We need to be aware. We need to be watchful. We need to study the Bible, study the Word, know the Scriptures. Because he says there will be many deceivers who will come. And the only way that you will know a deceiver is if you know the Word. Because you can be deceived if you don't know what the Bible says. Easy to feel like someone is right and believe that they're doing right. And you want to follow them and you want to buy all their books and read all their CDs and listen to all their TV shows and all of those kinds of things. They are deceivers. They'll look good. They'll be pretty. They'll be nice. They'll be cordial. They'll not be as bad as what that deal in Planned Parenthood is. They've, I guess, been deceptive all along. But this thing is revealing that this is something that nobody can approve. Nobody can fail to be deceived that this organization is deceptive. But they're not the only ones. That's just one of a thousand and thousands who are trying to deceive us. 2016, political candidates are coming on the scene from everywhere, aren't they? And there'll be the left wing and the right wing and the Democrats and the Republicans and the good guys and the bad guys, and there'll be the men and the women. And everybody's pretty well wanting to be elected. I mean, they are. They say things and they do things, but the bottom line, they're hoping to get the attention of the United States of us, so that we'll come to their side and believe them and vote for them when the election day comes. It's so easy for us to be deceived. Easy for me. We need to be in the Word. We need to know what the Bible says, so that when these deceivers come, they don't deceive us. They may deceive others, but we know the truth, and we're not going to be deceived, and our family's not going to be deceived. Because we know, and we're watching, and we're waiting, and we're being faithful to Him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity that I've had to stand here today and speak words from Your Bible that we need to hear. I pray, Lord, that just as we are, we have been listening and thinking and praying about ourselves. Oh, dear Lord, we realize that we need to be ready. One of these days we're going to die, so we need to be ready. One of these days You're going to come back to this world. We need to be ready. I pray that You will lead us in this invitation time and that Your will might be done, that if there are those who need to be saved, that they will be saved today. Some who need to join the church, that they'll do that today. Others who want to follow in baptism, that they'll come and let it be known. Some may need to come and confess their sins, even before the congregation, and ask for forgiveness. I pray that I would have the nerve to do that if I needed to, and that any of us would have the courage to do that if we needed to today. Have Your way in this invitation. I pray in Your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.